Good morning, everyone. Currently, we're in a series of sermons looking at the meekness of Moses. And what we've seen so far is the Lord took a hot-tempered young man and molded him into a man of meekness. What we've discovered is that Moses wasn't perfect. And on several occasions, he actually did relapse back into his former temperament. But the truth is, Moses wasn't perfect, but he sought the perfection of Christ in his life. And that's what I'm trying to challenge each one of us to do. None of us are perfect, but we have the opportunity to truly seek the perfection of Christ in our lives. The fact is, we all struggle with being meek, and because of that, we all need a Holy Ghost intervention in our lives. Amen? Now, before I get to today's text, again, I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page. I want to give a little bit of background so everyone understands the context of what we're dealing with. What we've seen is that Moses is the Lord's special prophet that God used to lead his people out of bondage as slaves in Egypt. Moses was the Lord's special prophet because unlike other prophets who received dreams and visions, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man would speak to his friend. And as the Lord led his people out of the bondage of Egypt, the Lord called Moses' older siblings to serve with him under his leadership. But after 2 years, Moses' older siblings, Miriam and Aaron, they were discontented. And they began a revolt against Moses and his role as the Lord's special prophet. They said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not also spoken through us?" You see, Moses and Aaron were not just criticizing Moses. They were criticizing the Lord for choosing Moses as his special prophet. And they certainly didn't appreciate the fact that the Lord gave him special privileges. The Lord gave him special revelations. And the Lord gave him this special one-on-one relationship that no one else enjoyed. And the Lord heard it. The Lord heard their criticism, and he was not pleased. Again, Moses was not perfect in his meekness, but this time, in this situation, he gets it right. He gets it right because he exemplifies the meekness of the only one who would fulfill meekness perfectly, Jesus Christ. In Numbers chapter 12, Moses demonstrates four mannerisms of meekness. And in doing so, he's pointing us to the one who would never fail, the one who would always be perfect in meekness, the Lord Jesus. And like Moses, we as Christians are called to follow Christ's example. We're called to live like Christ in the world. So let's learn more from Numbers chapter 12. Let's learn more about meekness as we read the scripture this morning. Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. Hear now the word of God. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because he had a Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all people who are on the face of the earth. And suddenly the Lord said to Moses and to Aaron and to Miriam, "Come out, you three, to the tent of meeting." And the three of them came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tent and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forward. And he said, "Hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream, but not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him, I speak mouth to mouth, clearly and not in riddles, and he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And when the cloud removed from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous, like snow. And Aaron turned towards Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. That finishes the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Now, as I mentioned, Moses exemplifies four mannerisms of meekness within the entirety of Numbers chapter 12. Last week, we saw Moses demonstrate the first mannerism of meekness in that he was not defensive. When Miriam and Aaron verbally revolted against his role as the Lord's special prophet, Moses allows the Lord to defend him. And Moses just simply remained silent. So we learn that a meek person is not defensive. This morning, I want us to discover the second mannerism of meekness. A meek person is not vindictive. I want you to notice that Moses does not call fire down from heaven. He doesn't wish any harm on Miriam and Aaron. But verses 9 and 10 tell us that the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and the Lord departed. And when the cloud removed over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous, like snow. And Aaron, when he turned towards Miriam, behold, she was leprous. Now, leprosy is an awful disease. It's an infectious disease that causes severe disfiguring sores and nerve damage to the skin. It usually takes 3 to 5 years for the symptoms of leprosy to start to appear on a person's body. But here in our text, we see that Miriam became leprous immediately. And this must have been a shock. Who had ever thought, as the cloud ascended back into heaven, that Miriam would be leprous from head to toe? I don't know about you, but that would freak me out. Biblical leprosy is described in Leviticus chapter 13 as a progressive disease that causes scabs and crust on the skin, leaves white patches on the skin, turns the hair white, and causes bald spots. But for Miriam, it wasn't a patch or a spot. It was her whole body. Her whole body was leprous, white as snow. Now, clearly, this is the Lord's discipline against Miriam for being the instigator behind the insurrection against Moses. Remember, this whole thing started when Miriam and Aaron criticized Moses because he had married a Cushite woman. And as I said in one of the early sermons, it seems that Moses, a Jew, married an African woman. And his choice for a new bride, well, it didn't settle well with his older siblings. Now the anger of the Lord was kindled against them because of their revolt as the Lord Moses about their revolt against Moses as the Lord's special prophet. But I want you to see that the Lord had not forgotten their criticism against his wife. In effect, the Lord is saying, Miriam, you think you're all that? You think you're so special because you're a white-skinned woman? Well, I'm going to make you white. Whiter than snow. Now, it seems that Miriam and Aaron's primary problem is that they considered themselves better than other people. They considered themselves better than a Cushite. They considered themselves better than Moses. They even considered their choice would have been better than God's. And the Bible tells us that having this type of superior attitude is just antichrist. The Bible tells us that with humility of mind, we should regard others as more important than ourselves. So having this better than you attitude, well, it's the exact opposite of what it means to be humble. Now, I know some of you might be a little bit freaked out right now because the text says that the anger of the Lord was kindled against them and Miriam became leprous. You might be a little bit freaked out because I told you that this is clearly the Lord's discipline against Miriam because she was the instigator of the insurrection. And you might be saying to yourself, if the Lord disciplined Miriam with leprosy, for her disrespect, does the Lord discipline me for the bad things that I have done? You might even go a little bit further and say, are the bad things that has happened to me in my life, is this the result of the Lord's discipline upon me? And let me just simply say, probably not. Most likely the bad things that have happened to you are a result of living in a fallen world among fallen people. I want to assure you that God is not an angry monster seeking someone to punish. God is our Heavenly Father who deals with us as sons and daughters so that we might share in His holiness. Now, I can't spend any more time on this topic this morning, but I just want you to know for sure that God is not a cosmic bully. But rather, He is your Heavenly Father who will use all things to see us grow in His righteousness. Now, next week, we're going to see that the Lord actually heals Miriam, and as a result, He will show us another characteristic of meekness. But the main thing I want you to see this morning is that Moses was not vindictive towards Miriam and Aaron. Yes, Moses had been attacked, but he did not seek revenge. Now, personal acts of revenge, they might feel good for the moment, but they usually have long-term consequences. We've all seen the videos of the road rage when people are overcome with rage when they feel that another driver has unjustly treated them. We call it road rage, but it actually could be called road revenge. And there's a good case of this on television this last week. Maybe you saw of this motorcycle driver and must have had some sort of incident with the car, and they're going down the interstate going God only knows how fast, and the motorcycle driver kicks his foot against the car and the car squeals. Did you guys see this? Well, if you missed it, here it is. Must have been an episode of anger previously. They must have been yelling and taunting at one another. And then this guy kicks the side of the car. The driver tries to push him into the concrete wall. One thing after another. I'm telling you, man. Vengeance, it kind of feels good for the moment, but it often has bad consequences. I want you to understand that vengeance doesn't always happen immediately. I don't think any one of those drivers thought when they went on the road that day that that was going to happen. They let their emotions get away with them, and immediately they responded. But, you know, vengeance, it doesn't always take, you know, it doesn't always have to happen immediately. I've read several stories of revenge in preparation of today's sermon, but this one really struck me. In January of 2012... 73-year-old man by the name of Carl Erickson sought revenge for a locker room prank that had taken place nearly 60 years prior by shooting 72-year-old Norman Johnson, killing him in cold blood. You see, back in high school, Johnson was the popular star athlete while Erickson stood on the sidelines as the student manager. And one day, Johnson, this star athlete, got his buddies together and they decided to pull a prank on Erickson. And they trapped him and then they put a jock strap around his head. Erickson never forgot the incident. He held a grudge against Johnson for 60 years. So, one night, nearly 60 years later, Erickson knocked on Johnson's door and says, "Are you Norm Johnson?" And after confirming his identity, Erickson took out his gun, shot him twice in the face, and killed him. Erickson was given a life sentence for his vengeance. But worse than that, Erison spent his whole life harboring revenge. Do you want to be like that? The point is that revenge takes a variety of forms, from having bad attitudes towards people, harboring hatred in our hearts towards others, holding a grudge, to the point of doing some sort of revengeful act. But clearly, a meek person is not vindictive. A meek person will allow the Lord to judge. This is not being weak. This is being meek. See, the Hebrew word for meek comes from the root word that means to bow down. Don't you get it? Don't you see it? Vengeance rises up. But a meek person bows down. Bows down in submission to God's will. We don't have to carry anger and bitterness, resentment. We don't have to seek revenge. We just need to bow down to God. Now, one of the best passages on not seeking revenge is found in Romans chapter 12, where the apostle writes, "Never pay back evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, as far as it depends upon you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.' But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For by doing so, you are heaping burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Here the apostle begins with the basic principle: never pay back evil for evil to anyone. But the fact is, we want to pay people back, especially those people that have hurt us, those people who have attacked us. But by doing so, we're just lowering ourselves to their standard. What did Michelle Obama say at the Democratic Convention this past year? When they go low, we go high. And here I think the apostle is challenging us to go high. The challenge is to not allow another person's actions to govern your emotions. Don't let another person's evil action provoke you to have evil thoughts, evil attitudes, and even to plot evil deeds. Don't give them that much power. I want you to see that Moses modeled the Christ that was to come, who did not seek vengeance against his accusers. You know the story. On the night that Jesus was betrayed and unjustly arrested in that garden, and Peter took out his sword and he cut off the soldier's ear, and Jesus looks and says, "Put the sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword." Basically what Jesus is saying, revenge, taking revenge will kill you. Being vindictive will be the death of you. Don't do it. Put it back in its place. Now, hopefully you can see the connection between the first characteristic or mannerism of meekness that we saw last week, being slow to speak, and the characteristic of meekness that we're looking at this week, being slow to anger. Hopefully you can see the connection. See, our flesh wants us to act out quickly with an outburst of anger, but the Spirit wants us to be patient and to practice self-control. The reality is that we all need time for the Holy Spirit to permeate into our hearts and into our minds and into our actions. The fact is, we just need to be slow. We need to slow down. Now, walking in the Spirit, it doesn't come naturally. It's a work of God in us. And just like we are often quick to speak, we are also quick to be angry. And in doing so, we want to inflict some sort of revenge. The fact is that seeking revenge, it's a strong emotion, and we come by it naturally. You put two children together, even two infants together, playing with their little toys, and one child will take the toy from the other child, and the other child will just smack him one. You have to teach that kid to do that. But what is he doing? He's being vindictive. He's having vengeance against that little thief. But you see, we have to allow the Spirit to teach us how to respond in a Christ-like way. We need to slow down. And the apostle back in Romans chapter 12 gives us a detailed instructions on how not to be vindictive. We need to slow down so that we can respect what is right in the sight of all men. This means we should take time to think what would be a good response in the sight of all people. Not necessarily what's good in our sights, not good in our eyes, but how other people are going to perceive it. We need to slow down. We need to slow down, and if possible, as far as it depends upon you, you need to be at peace with all men. Now, sometimes, despite whatever you do, a person just doesn't want to make peace. And you can't change a person's heart. That's not your job. That's God's job. But you need to have the confidence to know that you've done everything possible to offer that person an olive branch and to make peace. You need to slow down and never take your own revenge. Leave it in the hands of God, knowing that He is the righteous judge and He is perfect in His justice. We need to leave it all in the hands that were wounded for you. Lastly, we are to love our enemies. Slow down. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. Do not allow ourselves to become overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Are you kidding me? Overcome evil with good? That's crazy. Can't you see how this is such a God thing? You would never come up with it yourself. Overcome evil with good? That has to be outside of our sphere of understanding. Yes, we love our enemies by doing acts of goodness towards them because that's exactly what Christ did for us. When we were enemies against God, God reconciled us to Himself through the death of His Son. Maybe you never really thought of yourself as an enemy towards God. But the fact is, while you were doing your own thing, going your own way, behaving and reacting to others the way you wanted to, basically what was happening is you were revolting against God and you were becoming His enemy. As we all slandered His name, as we all were insubordinate to His will, as we all were rebellious towards His word, we're becoming enemies against God. But God didn't take revenge against us. God wasn't vindictive towards us. But He demonstrated the greatest act of kindness that the world has ever seen. He sent His Son to die for us. While we were enemies against God, He sent His Son to endure the punishment for our sins so that we could be forgiven and be restored into a relationship with God. Thanks be to His holy name. Brothers and sisters, not seeking revenge is a God thing. It doesn't come naturally. It's a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and it's a demonstration of the gospel to the world. A person might ask, why are you being so kind to me? I've been so mean towards you, and you just keep on being kind to me. And the answer is, because that's the way God has treated me in Christ. I'm just trying to live like Christ in a fallen world. In closing, I want to tell you a short story about a person who would not allow vengeance to be the death of her. Her name was Elizabeth Elliot. In 1956, Elizabeth and her husband were sent as missionaries to a violent tribe of Indians in Ecuador. Jim and three other men flew a small plane to a remote area in an attempt to make initial contact with these violent Indians and to establish a base camp. Jim would never come home alive. These Indians brutally killed all four of the men with spears and left their bodies as carcasses. Now, instead of taking vengeance, in less than 2 years, Elizabeth, Jim's wife, learned the language of the Indians, returned and settled within that tribe, and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ones who killed her husband. Now, that's a God thing. So I'm going to ask you this morning, who do you want to be? Elizabeth Elliot or Carl Erickson? Do you want to live your life holding a grudge? Having bad attitudes and bad feelings? Plotting evil? Or do you just want to bow down and surrender? And say, Lord, use me to be a meek person. That's my prayer for you this morning. As we transition to the Lord's table this morning, I want you to see, first of all, that once, at one time, you were an enemy against God, justly deserving his displeasure. But God didn't take revenge against you. But rather, he demonstrated his love towards you by sending his son to endure the wrath of God on your behalf. And as a result of the anguish of Christ, the Father saw it and he was satisfied. Jesus bowed down in submission to the Father's will. He humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross, and therefore God highly exalted him and gave him the name by which we can be saved from sin and saved from ourselves. Now, we all struggle with wanting to be vindictive towards others. We want to be vindictive towards people who have hurt us and tried to harm us. And we understand that our vengeance can take a variety of forms, from having a bad attitude, holding a grudge, or even doing evil acts. But this morning, as we prepare our hearts to receive the Lord's Supper, I want us to search our hearts and ask the Lord to show us how we have been vindictive towards others. Ask the Lord to search your heart. What's the bad attitudes? What's the grudges you're holding? What's the hatred that you're harboring? And then I want to challenge you to confess your sin to God. God's never surprised by your sin. He knows it full well. And I want to ask you to ask him for a heart of repentance. That means to turn away from those behaviors. Just turn away. I'm asking you to put down the sword of vengeance and experience the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And after we do these things, I'm going to ask you to come and receive the refreshment that only comes through Christ by receiving the supper. Jesus said it like this: blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be the ones who will be satisfied. Be satisfied this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are not some sort of cosmic bully seeking people to punish, but that you are a loving Heavenly Father. Lord, you would have been just to punish us. We certainly did deserve your displeasure, but you were not vindictive towards us, but rather you gave us your Son, our Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I confess that you are my Savior, my Lord. I ask you, Lord, to come into my life, claim me as your child. Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and save me from my sins and from myself. And as your child, Lord, I come today asking that you would nourish me, you would feed me, that you'd give me drink. Lord, we realize these blessings come from Christ, who is the meekest person who ever lived. And Lord, we ask that by your Spirit, as we seek you today, as you nourish us, that we would be able to stand and give you glory and live like Christ in a fallen world. Bless us now as we receive your supper. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.